this in Broad.
This was in Broad.
You found this family.
So,
yes.
Three families.
Yes.
They said to me, who's with you? I said, I'm traveling by myself. So the grandfather said, look, I was dealing with your father. My son bought a few times. My grandson, was, for the last 4 or 5 years, was buying from me all the time since he was a youngster.
Yeah.
Why not come with us?
So, now
so I said, I have a ticket. I was supposed to go to Amsterdam 7 days on my ship. In fact, a cousin of mine sold me the ticket. He didn't.
You would have, on that ticket, you would have picked up the ship in Amsterdam.
From Broad, we were going to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yeah. That's what I'm
so
talking
they
about.
Made me talk to me, and I went with me to the ship company there. They had their office there. And they changed my ticket, and I went on their ship.
And what ship, where did it also go from?
It was the worst thing that I could have done.
But what city did it sail from?
We had to go, first we waited, we had to go to Trieste. Trieste is on the border from Italy. At that time it used to belong to Austria.
Yeah.
We come there, we were supposed to get a ship in 2 weeks. We didn't get it in five weeks. Mm. The immigration to this country, when I came into New York, the streets were black with immigrants. They were coming so thick, so much. So this was an Austrian company that had three cattle ships that used to bring cattle from Argentina. But when passengers used to go by the thousands from Moshe, from Litvi, from all territory, so they changed the name to passenger ships. We had fires, we put in the sun. The only thing is what we did when we come to this country, I was 28 days on the water. Instead of 7 days, I was 28 days on the ship.
And that was from Trieste.
We sailed from Trieste.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
We stopped in Naples for 2 days or 2.5 days.
We had to go all through
Naples,
the Mediterranean.
We took, took on a lot of Italians there.
And
we come to New York, was
yeah.
a fog.
You landed in New York.
In New York.
Yeah, and did anybody meet you in New York?
Huh?
Did anybody meet you, or did you
well,
come along?
Actually, they thought my mother and my cousin thought that I was lost at sea somewhere, because I was supposed to come in 7 days, and I didn't show up in 30 days.
So
28 days we were on the ship, and 2 days
yeah.
we had to say we couldn't get into the harbor in New York.
Because of the fog.
The fog.
Yeah. And then, so you actually, nobody met you?
We were met from the Jewish agencies in New York.
Do you remember the name?
The same name as they have today.
I forgot
the name. They were in existence already then.
The Jewish agencies.
They had a half a dozen people. They would meet all ships. My ship was met a young man, maybe 20, 22 years old, maybe 23 years old. And he took as many as he could. They give so many people to each man.
Yeah.
To take him to the addresses. And he brought
right.
me to my cousin.
Oh,
and
you had
and
your cousin's address.
I had that, well, sure.
Did you bring any objects or papers with you from Europe? Any mementos of Europe or of your...
I have a passport, so what good is it? You
I
can't
did,
do it
no, no, no. No, but I meant, did you bring any pictures or...
No, my picture was mailed to me. My mother mailed me the picture when I brought my brother to mm-hmm. this country. Well, I have
but
a
I, no, you didn't bring
I didn't
any...
bring nothing. Nothing. We lost everything. Then I just had to buy a couple of pair of pants and a suit. And that's what I went to America.
Oh,
I
you went.
Had a few shirts and a couple of pair of pants. And
but you didn't bring any mementos of your home?
No, nothing at all.
Is your name the same... in the United States, Nathan, as it was in Europe.
Naftula in Europe.
Naftula.
Naftula. Naftula.
N-A-F-T-U-L-A.
Naftula.
Okay. Why was it changed? Because...
Well, that's a Jewish name in English. My nephew, my cousin, had a book. In fact, I bought the book. And he picked me out, Nathan.
You picked it out of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have the book, I think. Yes, yellow with the pages on it.
Now I'm going to ask you to change the subject again. What was your first impression when you came to the United States? What was your impression of the United States?
I liked it, everything. A few of us got green bananas and we couldn't eat them right there in Castle Garden. And I had, when I changed my ticket, I got $25 or $28 back altogether. I had about $38 in American money. So I met two Jewish boys that they actually were assigned to that ship, where I afterwards to the cattle ship, met him there at the station where we waited for the ship. They didn't have 2 cents. One of them was about 13 or 14 years old, one was about 16. And I was a millionaire at $30. So we used to go out together. We spent about a couple of dollars while we were waiting for the ship. You watched it.
Yeah.
But when I got on the ship, I had $36. We didn't like the food so good. We were well. Most of the Jewish people on the ship were well because we didn't eat too much. But the Italians were sick like dogs. Because they were given a lot of meat and a lot of stuff that they never had so much at home. So like if they needed fresh and they used to eat a lot. So they were sick. But the Jewish people, it was only one family, elderly man, that he wasn't too well. But the rest of us were all younger people. And we had about four or five Polish people that were in this country already. And that dear friends in Connecticut happened to be that they lived there and they went home and they didn't like it home. And the Jewish families sent them tickets to come back to Connecticut.
Well, tell me this. What was your first impression in the United States of New York City?
Well, I was very tired when I landed with my cousin because he took so many people home before he took me.
Well, were you overwhelmed by the noise?
I enjoyed it. Everything looked nice, but my cousin was a short time that he moved in, I don't know, 6 months or 7 months from Connecticut.
No, I meant just when you that first impression of New York City.
Well, I never seen such a big city. The biggest city I was in Russia was Kazatin, on my way to America, to get the bread.
Yeah.
Kazatin was a big station. That's where I saw the first electric
light. So you were actually impressed by the size.
But I was bothered because when I got to live with the family, my cousin was outstanding nice to me. He claimed he was at our home several weeks, but I was only an infant. Stayed at that place. But the only trouble is we had an elevator run right over the roof of the building.
Where you lived in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, RBL.
He was a big shot. He was in the Spanish War. He was a captain and he was a Mason. So one night he went to a Mason meeting and he came back. And early in the morning, before I went to work, he says, Naftula, he used to come with my Yiddish name. Because we had a uncle that was very dear to the family and his name was Naftula. So he says, we are going to have a beautiful home. It was Myrtland Park, in Myrtland Avenue. It was a park.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That owned by the Hastel, one of the wealthiest families, had a big home there. They remodeled into four apartments, six or seven rooms in each apartment.
You were going to take one of those?
My cousin was friendly with a Mason, a real estate man, and he had his name. He was looking for him because they couldn't send the elevator the same as I could send at night. The elevator was on the way. And he moved there and we were led, like you say, like a millionaire.
Well, tell me this. When you first came to Pittsburgh, what first impressed you of Pittsburgh?
Well, there's no question that New York was, even then, it was a big city.
How did you react to Pittsburgh?
I didn't see much of Pittsburgh when I came in. I went right to, it happened to be after that I married her daughter. See, I bought her of mine. Had a barter.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you. Just where did you get
a barter? A barter of mine had a barter that lived where Carlson's Wood was on Franklin Street here in Seattle.
Franklin.
At that time it was Franklin. Right off from, Logan Street. You know where Logan Street is?
That's
a short distance. Franklin Street at that time was Carlson's Bed House. Carlson's Bed House.
Oh, yeah.
So my, he had about two or three apartments in. This brother, my brother-in-law, lived there.
Mm-hmm.
When I come there...
That was where you went first thing, when you
I only knew him in Pittsburgh. I didn't know anybody else.
That's
I had his address, and I used to correspond with them off and on.
Did you come by train?
When I landed in New York, I came by train, and I was filthy dirty. They used to have so many cook hovels all along the highway, and Pittsburgh was a dirty city at that time.
Right.
But
So that's where you went to. This is a brother-in-law's?
Carlson was not a brother-in-law.
Oh.
Nathanson was a brother-in-law.
Oh, on Franklin.
It was on Franklin, Carlson's bed house.
Carlson.
Everybody used to call it. There used to be a lot of hot beds there.
And that's where you went first thing?
Well, I went to because my brother-in-law's brother lived there in one of the apartments.
And they had apartments too?
They had about four apartments, and the bed house was in the basement, like.
And what else did you do your first
day? As soon as I landed there, he wasn't well. He was getting over a sickness. He was afterwards my father-in-law. I married his daughter later on. So he says, I'll tell you, You see, when I landed in New York...
Yeah, but just tell me about Pittsburgh.
About Pittsburgh.
This very first day, because...
Well, when I came in there, they gave me breakfast, and he says, what is your intentions? I said, I would like to work in a store. But I have a couple of boys that left our town. They wrote letters that are working in the wrestling guys. Well, but he said, the wrestling guys, if you want to get a job, you'll have to leave about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. There was two cars, little dinky cars, we used to call them. They had to change.
To go to East Pittsburgh.
East Pittsburgh. I was there at 6:30. I was very tired, so that day, actually, I rested all day. He says, being that he was brought up in business, and I knew your family, because he was at my his brother's wedding in my town. So he says, you should look for his stores. Well, I says, tomorrow, I'll be up early in the morning. I'll go to the wrestling, because I heard I'm making good money there. And then, I'm not going to take my working clothes alone. Somewhere or another, I had an idea what to do.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to take my working clothes. I don't get a job then, and I'll the whole day afterwards, being that I saw early. And then, if I get a job at a store on Fifth Avenue, he says, Fifth Avenue is a short distance. You know, 12 Logan Street there. It's only a 2-block.
So did you get the job at Westfield?
First, I went, here's the job.
And you did go to work there.
I got the job, and I didn't go to work there, because they asked me if I had my working clothes. I says, no. He says, come as a Morgan.
Come tomorrow.
Yeah, in Germany, talked to me. Then when I came back, must have been about 9 o'clock, and... my future father-in-law was home. He says, no, have breakfast, get washed, because you, when you traveled at that time in a couple of streetcars and the smoke and everything, he says, then go down to Fifth Avenue. Maybe you'll get a job in the store. I thought that you was brought up in the store. He asked me how I like to work in a shop. I said, it's like in a jail, because I had, when I landed in New York, my cousin had a friend of his that was manufacturing clothing. He wanted to make a car out of me. As much as he was a friend, he said that I have to work 2 months and $50 American money. My cousin said, I'll put you up the money. I worked 1 week, and there was
a cutter.
It's a cutter in New York with a machine.
Yeah, I know.
It happened that I was doing pretty fair in the cutting for the first week.
Would they pay you?
I told you, I had to work 2 months free and give him $50.
Oh, and you gave them $50.
I didn't give him nothing. The first I was supposed to work and see if I like it.
Yeah.
Then a week later, my cousin was supposed to give him $50, and I was supposed to work 7 more weeks free. So there was a man, there was already a married man, a young man, maybe 22 or 23 years old.
Was there anything about life in the U.S. during the first 5 years that disappointed you?
I was very lonesome for my mother. In fact, the first year, the 12 months, was like 12 years. I was on the verge. If I had a future in Russia, I would have gone back on account of my mother. I missed her so much, it was terrible. I missed my whole family, but my mother was the mother, because I didn't know my father.
Yeah.
My mother brought me up.
Well, tell me this, Was there anything in this country that you had expected that wasn't so?
I was satisfied with everything in this country.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, before I was 3 years in this country, I was running business for myself. I worked for this man.
Yeah.
For
us. I want to get to that a little bit later. Was there any time during that first 5 years where you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant? Were there any experiences you went through?
I didn't have it.
Never
have. I didn't have it. I had a couple of times that I was put in a queue in New York because I peddled for 3 weeks. When I quit this, when they told me they wouldn't raise me for a year after 7, so I went out peddling.
Yeah, but
peddling with
peace
goods.
But the peddling, but when you were almost killed, that had nothing to do with because somebody was.
No, the one who robbed me, that was just a case of robbing.
Right, but not because you were.
No, not because it was you. They didn't.
All right, after having lived in the U.S. 5 years.
I did not live in New York 5 years.
No, the United States. United States. Did you feel you had accomplished or would accomplish what you wanted to do?
I don't know.
Your goal in life.
Before I was 3 in this country, I opened up a general store. I took in a boy from Europe that was raised in the same time with me, worked on Westinghouse. I had $600 saved up, and he had $500, and he opened a general store 3 miles from Washington, Pennsylvania. 3 miles from Washington, Pennsylvania. The mining time was Manifold, M-A-I-N-I-F-O-L-D, and we did pretty good, the two of us.
Did you stay in that business then?
I stayed there for 12 years, but it was my partner only stayed for 4 years.
And then where'd you go after the 12 years?
After the 12 years, when I was the proper thing is to give it the whole thing. I was with my partner and we got along first class.
Well, that's all right, but I want to ask. All right, let's go back even before you opened your business.
All right.
What was your first home? Now, where did you live? You lived with these relatives.
I'm telling you, the first home was with my cousin Garfinkel in New York.
No.
Boris Garfinkel.
No, here in Pittsburgh. Your first home in Pittsburgh.
My first home in Pittsburgh was after I gave up my general store.
That first apartment you went to, that you said it was at Calson's, over Calson's.
I only went to visit there.
Oh, and then where did you live after you left there?
I'm telling you, in 2 days I was in Cannonsburg working.
Oh, all right. And where did you live in Cannonsburg?
Well, I don't remember the street of the house, but I knew where the store was.
Room.
The store was on Jefferson Avenue. I lived with these people.
You lived with Mr.
But
Levine?
But then Mr. Levine, they gave me a room and board. And they were very nice people. Nice to work for them. They liked me. In 8 months, I was getting already $50 a month instead of 20.
How many years did you stay with Mr. Levine?
Well, I stayed there from February, must be the 22nd, because the same day that I got this card, I got the job with him.
Yeah.
I left early in the morning to rest again, and I went out on Fifth Avenue
and
got the job.
And when did you open the store?
I stayed with him from February the 22nd. For 2 years till the next 2 years, September, a day or two after Rosh Hashanah, I opened my general store.
So you were there about 2.5 years?
I don't think it was. I think it was only about 2 years.
All right. Did you belong to any trade union?
There was no trade union.
I didn't think so.
The miners are a union, but I was in business for myself.
Okay, now we're at the part. Now you spent 12 years in the general store in
Manifold.
Manifold. Then what did you do?
While I was in business, you see, we were 4 years together as my partner, I wanted to move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I had an idea. A certain peddler that used to come and sleep at our place in the country told me about Orlando, Florida, that is a big territory and it's better than Miami. There are not so much hurricanes there. And you can buy land cheap and raise orchard. So I said to my partner, I said, look, Dave, we got along pretty good. I made up my mind. I never went to a vacation neither did you for the 4 years we were together. Give me $5,000 for my share and I'll go out and you can have the store. He says, what's happened? I says, you remember the peddler we had, but he talked about he has two brother-in-laws there, and they're making a very nice living out of orchards. And there was a 45 or 55 acre farm on the border of Orlando that you could buy for $5,000. He says, maybe you'll get it even for less.
Did you buy?
No, wait. I had to sell this one. So I had my dream that I was going to go down there and see. I talked to her about it and the wife. She says, well, you did pretty good up and all since we're married. I mailed the year after I was in business. You'll see. So I talked to my partner, and my partner said, would you sign me a paper that you'll never open a store here? See, we had the house built together with the, where we had the store. I said, I'm not asking you to sign, and I'm not going to sign. But this is the way it is. Either you give me $5,000, and I go out, and you have the store, but I'm not signing no papers. So he said, would you let me think it over? I said, sure, this is the rush. We were together for 4 years. We can think it over. He comes back in two, 3 days later. His parents were already Silverman, the cousin. Yes.
Yeah.
Some of his brothers, the drug is still living in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It was held up a couple of last
yeah.
week.
All right, so what happened? So who
so, he comes back and he says, look, Nathan, you want to go out? He asked me $5,000. Give me $5,500 and I'll go out.
So you did.
So I talked to my wife. I said, I'll give you an answer in a couple of hours.
Right.
So I gave him $5,500.
And
he went out and I stayed in the store.
All right, so after 12 years, what did you do?
While I was in the business then.
No, but I want to know after.
I was buying real estate in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I happened to make good buys.
Yeah.
After 12 years, I moved in. I was buying and selling real estate and remodeling a little bit. Mostly, I used to buy and sell, but some of the properties I kept for a good many years.
What type of property? Did you specialize?
I had many kinds. I didn't specialize. There was the best buy. I had the corner, which is still in existence, not the corner, Center and Quake, a whole block, a garage with half a dozen stores. Of course, I put an addition on Center Avenue where there was a liquor store there. No, I put that addition on. I had that for 12 years. But I had mostly private homes. I had all 8 houses on Center Avenue, 4 on the front.
So real estate became
real estate. It became my business.
All right. Now, if you could live this part of your life over, what work would you go into?
What would I do?
What would you do? Would you do anything different than you did do?
I would be in the real estate business. I liked it, but my wife was sick for quite a while, so I gave it up. I used to spend an awful lot of time with her.
Did you go into any other business?
Huh?
Did you?
No.
After that, you were retired.
I still own one piece of real estate, no.
Did you go to a school in Pittsburgh? Did you get
any school? I tried to go to school, the New York night school, but I used to fall asleep because I'll tell you, I used to walk to work, save a nickel. I used to walk over the Brooklyn Bridge. I used to be too tired, so I tried for a couple of weeks and I fell asleep several times, but my cousins, only him and his wife could talk Jewish. The children were born in this country, so I learned English fast.
That's why I wonder, how did you learn English?
For myself, from a book. I still had the books.
Uh-huh.
And living with him, his older son that was my age, we had a private bedroom after he moved. And actually, when we moved in, that home was a millionaire's home.
So you
a Jew couldn't get it. If he wasn't a Mason and he wasn't a captain of the Spanish Army, I don't think he could have got that, because the rest of the families were all Gentiles.
Well, did you learn to speak English then by practicing with your children and with the book?
They used to talk to me, and I used to keep the book and watch it, and little by little. When I was there 6 months, I could understand a good bit already.
All right, now I'm going to change the subject again. Here in Pittsburgh, did you like music? Did you go to concerts or anything?
I used to go with my wife when she lived.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these very early years of your marriage.
I was very early years, we had no time, but
yeah,
we used to go once in a while, even my partner and his wife, myself, when there used to be sometimes, I didn't care for opera, I went a few times, but there used to be Jewish plays, we used to close up, we used to come to Pittsburgh. And then we would either stay overnight or we used to call, there was a train, what they called the bummer, that used to leave 11 o'clock at night and come into our town at 12 to a station where we get off, and then we had a walking mile and have to get to our place because there was no transportation.
Well, tell me this, do you remember the name of the Yiddish theater or where it was located? Do you remember where it was located?
At that time, the Zionists had a building on Center Avenue, a large building, and then there was a certain Handel, used to have a movie and used to buy a couple of Yiddish players from New York. We tried our best when there was Yiddish players in Washington, Pennsylvania,
Washington also?
That'd be 1 or 3 miles from
there.
There was already about 45 or 50 Yiddish families in Washington, so once in a while they would get somebody over there.
And they bring him plays?
They used to pay him, and we used to come, and we paid the par tickets.
Yeah.
Most of us business people used to give more on the tickets, otherwise you couldn't get them to work because there was a small crowd.
Did you attend any lectures in those days?
Mostly all the Zionist meetings. Well, we lived with my wife the first from 1922 to 1940.
But this is before that.
Once in a while.
Do you remember any where they were located?
Well, they used to be in homes. And when the Zionist organization bought the building, where Lando built a movie on the corner center, and another street, I forgot the name of it, I happened to have a property not far from there. There used to be meetings in Washington, Pennsylvania. Used to be Zionist meetings.
So mostly Zionist.
Mostly Zionist meetings.
All right. Did you go to public libraries?
No, I didn't have to go to the park. I didn't go there. I had many books that I bought, Yiddish and some English. I still have. I give away a good many, but I still have a good many.
What Pittsburgh newspapers did you read in those very early years?
We used to get a Washington paper, and used to be a Leader in Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Leader?
They had a half a dozen papers, but one used to get one, the Leader, and the Washington, Pennsylvania paper. English papers, Washington, and then I used to get two Jewish papers. I used to get the Americana, which is still, I think, in existence, a weekly Yiddish paper, which used to have between 25 and 35 pages news about the world.
All right, I want to change the subject and ask you about your religious life here in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area. When you came to Pittsburgh, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
Well, I wouldn't say fanatically religious, but I am religious. I joined the Bachelor in 1922, February 1922.
But before that?
Before that, I used to go with my brother-in-law, which was Ann Holden's father, and my sister was his wife, to the Russian Shul on holidays.
Russian?
Yeah.
Where was that located?
The Russian Shul was in the U District. I don't remember the street.
But
it was up in Central Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now,
during the year in a general store in Washington, one holiday we stayed in Washington for Yom Kippur, just 1 year.
Did you change any of your religious practices during your first 5 years?
No. The way I was brought up, that I had to believe and I had to doven. I used to miss doven.
You doven less after you came to the United States?
Only on certain times. I used to make my business to go to Jewish holidays, I had to stop working. I used to notify when I worked a couple of days before, and most of the time they used to let me go.
Did you observe the same Jewish holidays here as you have done in Russia?
Well, Washington and Kippur are the biggest holidays.
Yeah, but other than that, some of the other less.
Shavuos and other. Yes, if I could, yeah. I even went with my cousin at one time. We listened to the. There was one of the outstanding in the world, the Wilner Holm, was in New York with 30 or 40 Michelle. You know what Michelle means? Mm-hmm. Assistant singers with him. What do you call them? A choir.
Yeah, bar.
Well, I went to hear him with my cousin. In New York, the first year I was there, months I was there, 8 or 9 months.
All right, now tell me this. Will you tell me about that Russian show?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, what it was like.
It was a very nice building. In fact, there are two, but I belong to the first one that my father-in-law was active in it.
It was
a good size shoe. Miller Street, if I got them. There are two shoes there. They built after a certain section of the membership fell out with some of the members, and they built a small one right next door. So there was two Russian shuls, but I used to go to the whole one, to the big one.
And how often did you attend?
Only on holidays. I was already in business. I couldn't. I only attend my parents' yuletide, my father's yuletide, my mother's yuletide, and the holidays.
Okay. Did you carry on observances in your house? in your address?
Oh, yeah, sure. My wife got sick of the Kusher. And here, the Hanukkah left already waiting for Hanukkah. See, I was cleaning my covers. I took it out, it should be ready.
And for Friday night, the Sabbath?
Yeah, I never missed the kiddush when my wife lived, but no, I'll tell you, I missed.
Well, that's what I meant, when the very first day.
Everything up to 1954 was kept complete, but no, I miss it once in a while.
Now I'm going to change the subject again. Did you experience any changes in your health when you first came to Pittsburgh due to the climate?
Climate's never bothered me. I was healthy all my life till 2 years ago. And the last 2 years, I had 3 operations. I was very serious, but because I was healthy built, the doctor said that I helped me to pull through.
Now, but during those first 5 years, those early days, did you recall?
I didn't have a sick day in my life. Actually, I wasn't very, I had nothing till 6 years, six or seven. That was my book.
So
I had hernia removed.
You had no, then you didn't have any medical attention at all during those first years. You never
in America?
Had, yeah.
Not even during the first 20 years, not even the first year.
Oh, okay.
My wife gave a lot of trouble. She was sick for quite a while.
All right, now.
But we had a happy life, though, as much as she was sick.
Can I change the subject again? When I ask you about the first organization you belonged to in...
When I came into Pittsburgh, the first month, when I heard, I used to come to visit my sister. My sister and brother-in-law moved from Baltimore to Pittsburgh. And I used to come to see him about once a month.
Yeah.
And I heard the Zionist organization. I went right away and looked up some of the people and asked when there was a meeting. They sent me notes.
Do you remember the name of the Zionist organization?